It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
Well, more transfer news, and I tell you what, there's a lot of basketball happening right now because between the quotes from Kellis's article that you should all go read right now at Kellis Robinette on Twitter in the Kansas City Star, I am not at all in love with Bruce's quotes. I'm not at all in love with his words, but it's hard not to like his actions. Right now, the actions trump the words, but we're going to talk about both here in the open. John Kurtz, Mitch Fortner with you on The Game. The real headline here, I suppose, that would be most pertinent to you fans is that K-State has officially landed Marquise Noel, who is the transfer from Little Rock that we have been talking about here throughout the week. That was announced by Noel on his social media accounts. Mark Smith has been officially added, official. K-State has announced that signing. Noel, not as of yet.
You remember when you used to spell Dejuan Gordon's name wrong? You've already spelled Marquise Noel's name wrong. You forgot the K, M-A-R-K-Q-U-I-S.
Okay, well, that's great. I'm doing a radio show here. I'm not sure if you're aware, so it's all about pronouncing it correctly. And once I saw, because you had incorrectly told me the pronunciation of his name, and I went and looked it up, I did spell it in a way in which I would know how to pronounce it on our outline that nobody will ever see. So I think we'll be okay. Just my two cents.
I don't know if I can be okay with that.
Here's the deal. This kid is from Little Rock. He was a former first-team All-Sun Belt pick. He's small at 5'7", but he scored 14 points per game in his career and has started 54 games in his time at Little Rock. Another bad is that halfway through the season, he opted out, and his coach had a pretty emphatic quote where he was not thrilled about it at all. It said Marquise didn't want to be a part of this team, so at the end of the day, he has opted out. That's the best thing for him, and it's the best thing for us, and we're definitely happy to be moving on. So there's good and bad with that. But if we're talking about Noel as a player himself and like what K-State is doing here, I mean, to me, if you've done your homework on what that's about, because like the size, listen, 5'7", he's small. We can talk about some of that. I think that's the kind of risk you absolutely have to roll the dice on here, especially with your job on the line. The other part of this, like I hope you've done your homework on what exactly the issues are. But again, in a scenario where you feel like you need to make the NCAA tournament next year to save your job, you're going to have to roll the dice on somebody that brings this kind of talent, this kind of shooting ability, this kind of experience. So if you have done your homework well enough, I think this is the type of gamble that you have to make. And Bruce Weber has clearly gone out and done that. Now, Mark Smith at Missouri, not the same kind of gamble that this is, just because we didn't see the off-the-court stuff with him. It's a gamble because of like whatever you think of his skill set, whatever you think of the declining numbers, particularly the three-point shooting numbers at Missouri, that becomes a gamble there, but it's not the same type of deal as potentially off-the-court stuff, because I don't really know what exactly that's about. But if you're taking these two players on paper and you're looking at what it is that K-State has done and addressed here need-wise, it's taking down the two biggest needs that they had. They absolutely needed shooting. They absolutely needed experience. And experience here is covered with the 80 starts that Mark Smith has at Missouri and 54 starts that Noel has at Little Rock. So it's hard to argue. Again, we keep referencing this Fran Fraschilla quote, but when Fran late in the season said, like, yeah, they need to get older and they need some shooting, hard to argue that they haven't done that. The shooting part comes next, where Mark Smith had a 45% three-point shooting season with over 100 attempts. Noel had almost 200 three-point makes in his career at Little Rock, and he had a 39% season on slightly higher volume. And if you go watch some highlights of Noel, I mean, like, you can see him draining some deep, deep threes. Like, these are guys that bring shooting ability that was not currently on the K-State roster. So it's hard to argue with Bruce on that at all. If you are going to take these two and line them up against the rest of the transfers that K-State has had throughout Bruce's time here, I mean, you're talking about arguably the two best, bam, bam, and they just happened in the span of 3 days together here throughout this week. So, not going to say a word. The actions, which, as they say, speak louder than words, are speaking pretty loudly here. But what I'm not crazy about is reading Kellis's article where it's detailing a lot of this, and I see that Bruce Weber on the transfers says this. He's talking about being in a meeting with Chris Kleiman. Quote, "We were in a meeting, and after they had lost some guys talking about the transfer rules, I told him, we have got to fight this. He looked back at me and said, no, we've got to embrace it. It's part of the game now, and you have to go with it. I guess that is what we've got to do." I don't love hearing that you had to begrudgingly come around to that, because this is a part of the game, and it's not going away. This is a part of the game. It's not going anywhere. Transfers are going to be crazy. Over 1,000 in the portal now. This is going to be what college athletics is like. You don't have to like it. I'm not saying you have to like it. But you do need to embrace it. And the fact that it took Chris Kleiman, another guy who's fairly old school in a lot of ways, I'm sure. And I'm sure he does not think that this is ultimately the best thing for the student athlete to have this many transfers. He understands that it's his job to win games and teach me the rules, I'll play the game. You need to abide by this system now. Like, coaches have to make the adjustment here. Coaches get paid a ton of money. The system's way out of whack. You get paid seven figures to adjust to these things. And to me, reading that quote suggests this will still be a battle every year, even though Bruce's actions this year are very good in the transfer market. On paper right now, based on what we know about these guys, very good. But I see that and I cringe. I see that quote and I cringe, just to be completely honest. Now, I'm sorry I attacked you for my spelling error, man.
A little sassy today.
I was.
I can understand. You read those quotes from Bruce Weber and you scratch your head and maybe want to pull your hair out and think, man, if we were getting after this transfer portal the last couple of years,
yes,
we might not be dealing with these kind of issues right now.
Yes.
Because I think that Marquise Noel is a great example of a hidden treasure that you can go out there and find in the transfer portal. He's 5'7". He's a small dude. He's barely taller than I am, but he is a baller. I want to point out what he did in the pandemic-shortened year right before the Sun Belt tournament. Little Rock was the best team in the Sun Belt. They won the regular season, the conference championship, and he was their star player. He was the leading scorer, the best three-point shooter. His scoring average was 6 points better than everybody else at 17 a game, and he was that team's leader. That could have definitely gone to an NCAA tournament if the pandemic didn't shorten the season. That's the kind of player you have coming in. Size is not an issue for this kid because he plays like he's 6'5 instead of 5'7. He plays with so much speed. He wants the basketball, and he knows how to shoot it. I am encouraged by this pickup, more so than Mark Smith. No offense to Mark Smith. I just see more out of little old 5'7 Marquise Noel. I'm excited.
I think there's higher upside. I think there's higher upside there because he's been a guy that was really dynamic at a lower level. Smith more like just a plateaued guy at the Power 5 level, but you've seen him do it actually here. Lower floor, higher ceiling for Noel, no doubt. So as somebody with my sensibilities can very much appreciate where it is that you fall on that. But yeah, it's like, man, this past year, if the transfer market had been embraced more, they carried an extra scholarship, which more on that in a moment because that's another part of this article that I didn't like reading. What Bruce Weber plans to do is still a scholarship left right now. But yeah, it's not even so much like, okay, the past is the past, whatever. We're here. There's two transfers coming in this year. But what about the future? What about from now on? Are we going to have to keep fighting this battle every year? Is Bruce Weber going to have to keep having a meeting with Chris Kleiman every year about embracing the transfer portal? Because this will have to be something that happens every single year. You are going to lose players. Bruce has been no stranger to that already in his time in Manhattan, and it's only going to happen, the odds would tell you, at a more rapid rate just because it's easier for kids to transfer now and transfers are up all across college basketball. It just has this look of like an old guy yelling, "Get off my lawn," when it's like, we have to fight this. We have to fight the power and fight that these kids are now having the ability to transfer penalty-free ones. Don't even get me started on like the overall inequities of college athletics and, you know, a lot of the discussion that's happening today with the Supreme Court case that's being... I'm doing more surface-level analysis than that. I'm not even going deep into that. But okay, you don't like it. Don't just be the guy yelling, get off my lawn about it. Like, go do something about it and win within those constraints. You have to evolve yourself as a coach. This is where, and I know I'm usually the guy that's out here, I can hear people saying now, like, John, you tell me not to get so worked up about Bruce Weber quotes all the time throughout the season. This to me is different than like a quote about the play hard chart or a quote about drawing smiley faces on the board. This is not one of those, because this tells you more about like what the strategy has been. It's like something that we've known was there based on the actions of Bruce, where he's only had 4 Division I transfers throughout his entire time at K-State. But we now have some words to match to what those actions are. And it gives you a peek inside his mind into like really tangibly important things within a program. Just because the guy's a little bit goofy and he's going to have some goofy quotes here or there, or some whiny quotes here or there, that to me is on a different level than like fundamentally the game is changing and he does not seem to be wanting to evolve with it. So I hope he continues to. I hope he continues to match his actions. Well, it's actually not matching. I hope he continues to just let his actions do the talking instead of his talking do the talking when it comes to the transfers. But that raised some red flags for me. We've got Kelis Robinette coming up from the Kansas City Star and Wichita Eagles, because Kelis wrote the article. Kelis has been killing it, by the way, on the beat this week. And he scooped us all by getting that Bruce interview, and he's the one that actually talked to Bruce. So we'll get the details on what exactly that conversation was like, and we'll see where Kelis lands on, in particular, how serious Bruce is about leaving an open scholarship for next year once again, because that was another thing I did not like. That's next here on The Game. Kelis Robinette from the Kansas City Star, Wichita Eagles, joins us now. Appreciate the time as always, Kelis. Let me just say, congratulations to you for dominating the beat this week, getting the interview with Bruce Weber, putting the article out with a bunch of really interesting information and quotes, being on top of Mark Smith and getting that interview. It's been a banner couple of days for you, my friend.
Well, I'm flattered.
I wasn't expecting all of that news to happen all on the same day. I like the kids that Kansas State has signed here, but I wish they would learn to commit during business hours. Mark Smith was made his commitment at 1:35 a.m. Marquise Noel waited until, 9:30 last night. They should have more respect for us working stiffs and do it at, 11 a.m.
Well, it's all about when the edits get done, okay? I mean, you can't rush the brilliance of the edits. You know, the graphic for the ill-informed there, the graphic that accompanies the commitment, you know? That never sleeps.
I hear that. Posted it at 1:35 in the morning, though, is not the best time to get a big audience. That's my main critique of Mark Smith so far. Like the kid, timing could use a little bit of work there.
Well, I will direct him to AudiSense, which is something that you can subscribe to online that will tell you the most beneficial times to tweet certain things to your audience. So I'll pass that along. What was
okay?
Yeah,
I'll be interested in seeing that too. CC me on that.
Okay, we'll do. What was Mark Smith like? You talked to Mark Smith, Mizzou transfer, heading in here, averaging about 10 points per game for his career. What was he like?
A very, very nice person, very well spoken. I mean, he reminded me a lot of some of the senior veteran transfers we've heard from the football team, like Daniel Imatorbebe. Some other guys who've come in, and you can tell they've been around the block a little bit. They're not in high school anymore. Very well spoken, and I've kind of known Mark off and on since Kansas State started recruiting him. Bruce Weber did when he was in high school. I know he was a priority guy for them. Just never worked out. So I kind of kept tabs on him a little bit. It seems like he's matured over the years, and was just, didn't want to make a big deal about it. Maybe that's why he made the announcement at 1:30 in the morning. But he just knew he wanted to come and play here. He liked Bruce. He liked the staff.
had a good vibe with him, and if he was going to play anywhere else next season after already playing four in college basketball, he wanted it to be here. So I appreciated that, and you know, I also, just from a journalistic standpoint, like that I didn't have to badger him much to talk to him. He called me back after one call and actually apologized that he didn't get back to me sooner. So, and as you know, that's enough to win over us in the press corps.
Yeah, we can be pretty easy like that. We can. I forgot about this. This is another thing I wanted to start with in your article. Thank you for reminding me that Brandon Bolden existed, because I completely forgotten about Brandon Bolden, and that was the type of guy that I really liked, and he had that play where he just blocked the dude into straight oblivion.
That was, what was that? Was it Vine? Was that the app that just went crazy on?
Yeah, Vine. You're right, Vine. Rest in peace.
That was probably the most streamed K-State highlight, I think, it was on that site. That block of the poor Southern Utah guy was, I mean, you talk about putting somebody in a body bag, that was... it was almost worth signing him to a scholarship just so he had that moment, even though he didn't do much else.
Yeah, yeah. I'm impressed you remembered Southern Utah, too. I was about to quiz you on that because I had to go look it up today and see who it was. All right. How good of a haul do you think this is? I mean, look, I'm on record here saying I don't love some of the quotes in that article from Bruce, but it is hard to argue with going and getting Mark Smith and Marquise Noel, even though there are flaws. But realistically, you're going to have to deal with some flaws if you're at K-State and you're trying to get shooting and experience. And I think all things considered, that's about as good as you can do.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have, realistic expectations a little bit. It's not like they added Kate Cunningham or, that five-star stud from North Carolina who played one season and decided he was going to enter the transfer portal. Neither of these guys are like transformational players who will have them in the top 15 next season, I don't think. But by the same token, I'll say that this is probably better than I expected them to get. It's better than really anything else they've ever gotten during the Weber era out of the transfer portal, save maybe Justin Edwards. But, you know, even he wasn't overwhelming. He was solid. Nothing amazing for Kansas State. I certainly like Justin. But same kind of deal. He wasn't Kate Cunningham or anything like that. I think the biggest thing is just that they do fit the needs that Kansas State had on their roster. They needed desperately to get older, and they needed desperately to add shooting. And that's two things that they got from Mark Smith and Marquise Noel. I think Smith, even though his numbers haven't been overwhelming at Missouri, about 10 points every season, he's actually been a little bit in decline in the shooting department. That's one thing he told me yesterday, was that he was not happy with how he shot the ball last year, and he hopes he can change that at Kansas State. But he started 80 games. And he's already played at a Power 5 level. He averaged 10 points in the SEC. He brings a really high floor to Kansas State backcourt. I think he's an upgrade on DeJuan Gordon. Not quite as athletic, but more skilled, much better shooter. And I think he gives them a lot of options in the backcourt. So I like that addition. And I think if there's anybody who can help them reach his full potential, it is Bruce, just because they have that relationship. They really trust each other. And I think they'll maybe go the extra mile for each other. So it wouldn't blow me away if he came in and had his best season as a super senior at Kansas State. And then Marquise Noel is a little bit more of a wild card, I would say. Being 5'7", you have to worry about the size a little bit, even though I have seen some tiny guys play really good basketball. You do wonder a little bit about how a 5'7 guy can transition to the Big 12. And he didn't leave Arkansas Little Rock in the greatest of turns, opted out, had some disciplinary issues there. But at the same time, I think maybe that humbled him. He's coming into place. Maybe it won't matter. If he can come in with his head on straight and actually make some of these shots that he made at Arkansas Little Rock, we heard all last year about Bruce complaining that they didn't have any playmakers, any shot makers. This guy's not afraid to pull up from Steph Curry range and make a shot. And I'm very – that to me is probably the most exciting thing about next season. Is how does Bruce react the first time he tries that? Cross midcourt, put up a shot. What's the coach's reaction? That's what I'm going to do.
Well, I hope it would be okay. I mean, I'm happy. And, actions speak louder than words. I'm happy with the actions here, that at the risk of some defense with a 5'7 kid and then somebody who by all accounts is like maybe an average defender and Mark Smith, they – sacrifice that to go get some shooting and some playmaking ability. I'm all about that. But, man, I don't love seeing the quote about, hey, we're going to, or hey, Chris Kleiman and I are having this conversation, and he had to be the one to really goad me into getting into the portal because I was saying, hey, we need to fight this, and he said, no, we should embrace this. Like, I don't, how did you take that quote when it actually happened? You heard it. I'm just reading a quote off a sheet of paper, but I don't like thinking about this being a battle every single year to get Bruce to do that because this isn't changing. I mean, this is what college athletics is going to be.
Right. Well, I mean, I think it just shows why he's been so reluctant to transfer over the years. And as I pointed out in that article, they've only really had four ever that have come from another Division I four-year school. And they've had they've gone the JUCO route. They've got some transfers that way. It's never really worked out. But I think that it's an avenue they need to explore. I think it's an avenue that I think he's more open to now than he ever has been before. I think it's been a mistake that they didn't, you know, pull the Chris Beard strategy and go out and try to add some impact guys with some of those, you know, spring scholarships they've had in the past. I guess it is, like you said, a little concerning that he had to be pushed that hard from not only another coach at Kansas State, but also his own player, Mike McGurl, seemed to be really urging him to go that route too. And I think, honestly, the determining factor about whether they go back to this well in future years, if there are future years, is how the season goes. If these transfers come in and really help, then maybe that'll actually make him change his philosophy a little bit and leave a scholarship or two open that they use in the transfer portal every year. I really don't see another choice at this point. And, I hope that's the strategy that he goes with, but I think how this season goes might really form his opinion on that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think another determining factor in how the season goes is going to be whether or not they use that last scholarship. And I want to talk about that when we come back. Also, what you'll be looking for at the football open practice that's coming up on Saturday. Kelis Robinette with us here on The Game. More with him next. Really sets the mood for a Kelis segment, I tell you what. Kelis carelessly whispering back into the game here with us. John Kurtz, Mitch Fortner with you as well.
That's brand new. That's brand new music for me, right? I don't think I've ever heard that one.
Like, what happened to Real Big Fish? Why are we doing this instead of Real Big Fish? It's throwing me all off, Mitch.
All right, hey, Kelis got his BoJack.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like changing the mood a little bit. I got Sassy John to begin the show. I think I needed to tone it down a little bit. Don't need to anger the beast.
This is the mood that you wanted to set, though? Like, we're changing the mood to this? How do you feel about this, Kelis?
I mean, not really radio. Not the first thing I associate with radio. But, you know, I wouldn't have imagined it being like the theme song for the Deadpool movies either, and it worked. So I'll go with it. I'll give it a shot.
Okay, well, why don't you carelessly whisper to me what it is that Bruce Weber is going to do with this open scholarship now? That they have 13, which would be the typical number. Mike McGurl doesn't count against that number, but they still have one left, and Bruce insinuated in the article that he didn't necessarily want to use it, which I hate. What do you think is going to happen there?
You know, I don't know. Bruce was kind of all over the place with that. I actually went back and got a full quote here if you would like to hear it.
Yes.
I said, what do you want to do? You got this scholarship. Do you think you'd go another transfer? Do you think you'd go another do you think you'd go high school? Originally, he said, you know, he'd think he'd probably go high school, but if the right transfer came along, he'd go that way. And then he said, honestly, it depends on what's right. We could go high school, we could go transfer, but we've got to make sure it's the right person, the right fit, someone that can help our team. I don't know if I want to go to 14. I don't think I can keep everyone happy at 14. That would be really hard. So I think he's open to whatever. I think they'll be really selective about it. If they come across a guy they really like, whether it be another impact transfer type player, maybe it's a project high school guy that can come in and maybe even redshirt for a season. I don't know. I think they're open to anything. I was, like you, a little bit surprised that he was so open to not using it after given what happened last year. But at the same time, I think, if I remember right, he said pretty much the same thing last year. He didn't keep 13 guys happy, so he'd just stay with 12. So old habits die hard, I guess. I'm with you. I think if you got the open scholarship, you might as well use it. But it I don't know. Maybe 13 is enough, but I'm with you. I think I would use it if I could.
Well, to me, it comes down to the same premise that I had last segment, which is, like, embrace transfer portal culture. Yes, if you take somebody, there's a good chance that that turns into somebody who will transfer next year. For instance, literally just saw come across my timeline before we came on for that segment and was going to mention it until I was so rudely interrupted by that saxophone that Jethro Muscadin is transferring from Kansas, which I think like every non-starter on Kansas's roster at this point has now transferred. But that's a guy who Kansas, you know, that was like a Kansas version of just pulling someone in at the last minute that probably was never going to play that much there, and now he's left. But you take the lottery ticket. To me, it's like just forfeiting a free lotto ticket. Like, maybe that guy, whoever it is that you pull in with the 14th, is the one that pops. Maybe Noel doesn't actually pop. Maybe he is a bust. He's too small to really cut it. But whoever it is that you go land with this 14th scholarship is the one that does hit. And now, there you go. You've got your money, and you move forward with that. I understand that it's going to be too hard to really legitimately fulfill 14 players' needs on a team, but gone are the days of you legitimately having to worry about that, because like players are just going to transfer anyway.
Yeah, I mean, look at DeJuan Gordon. They treated him great, played him nearly 30 minutes a game, even when he wasn't making shots. There really was no reason, at least on paper, for him to transfer, and he did it anyway. I mean, I'm with you. I think that if you've got the roster space, you might as well use it. Now, if they were like, you know, at 15, 16 guys, scholarship players, maybe I could see at that point saying, you know what, let's just save this for another season. But 14, especially after what we saw last year, I mean, you never know. Maybe I doubt that COVID is a big factor again next season, but who knows? If a player or two gets, you know, put on the bench for a week, love to have another player to turn to. If injuries happen, you'd love to have another player to turn to. And, you know, you never know what can happen with some of those last spots. Ron Baker, Wichita State, was like the final guy they took in some class. I think they even originally took him as a walk-on, but that was a lottery ticket to hit. So, yeah, you never know. And the odds are anymore, there's a decent chance people are going to transfer regardless of situation. So, I think if they find the right guy, there's no reason to not add him. I guess my question is what's the priority? I'm not really sure right now. Would they go big? Would they go small? I'd probably recommend another guard. They've got enough big, but that would be interesting. I'm not really sure exactly if you could add one piece to this roster next season. I'm not quite sure what it would be right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm probably just best player available, whatever that might be.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if you saw a guy that you thought could help with a four, like in a big lineup, maybe. But they've got six big guys already, so I don't know if I want to go another one there. They've got seven guards now, too, so I don't know if you want to go one there, too. I think I'm with you. Mel Kiper in the draft, best player available.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, there are some things that intrigue me, like C.J. Noland, who is a legacy that they lost to Oklahoma. He was obviously recruited by Lon Kruger, and then the assistant, I'm led to believe that was the lead assistant for him, just left to go be on Lon Kruger's kids staff at UNLV. So is there a chance that you can get back in that game? And now he's already signed, but he could transfer, just enter the portal before he's actually, you know, practiced or played. Yeah, there are some things like that would be intriguing to me, and that's what I would be very open to.
Yeah. And honestly, if you really are worried about keeping everybody happy, we're able to bring in a guy, you know, possibly like Jethro, probably just have to say his name at Kansas, you know, who is okay with spending a year on the bench and learning, and you think he's got a high upside later, maybe go that route. There are plenty of possibilities there. I just don't know that saving the scholarship for another season is the best route. It's not the biggest deal because they've already got 13, but I think I'd rather.
Yeah, I don't like it. Don't like it at all. What are you most intrigued to see on Saturday at the one-hour open practice that we're going to get for football?
I want to know where John Kurtz and Mitch Fortner sit in the stands with the press box closed. I think that's going to be the most interesting thing. Where are you guys going to observe this practice from?
I actually had not even thought about that. I didn't know the press box is closed. We get no press box?
Yeah, no press box. We're going to be out there like any old Joe Schmo fan, watching, rubbing shoulders with everybody else.
Wow, not even Mitch Fortner being the voice of God at this thing?
You know what? Maybe they let him in, but they said on Tuesday on that Zoom call that the press box is going to be closed to us regular reporters. So yeah, we're going to have to go out and sit in a seat like everybody else. Probably just taking notes on a notepad.
Well, let me say, I had trouble with that Zoom call, so I did not hear that. That's a whole other enchilada that we could break down in detail. My microphone failures that did not work there. But Mitch, you're not invited in?
I didn't know the press box was closed either. I might not even go now. Sit outside to watch sports?
Sit
yeah,
amongst
what are we,
the
animals?
Peasants? Yeah, right, exactly. Okay, well, wherever it is that you're sitting with your notepad and whatever's going on, Kellis, what will you be looking for?
Okay, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I'll be looking at the offensive line. I want to see where those guys are playing. Do they look as improved as they said all spring so far?
Oh, boring. Boring.
I'm sorry, spring. Is Daniel Imatorbebe the new transfer tight end? Is he as good as they talked about?
That's better.
I mean, obviously, I want to see Julius Brents the second. If we're going to launch his Heisman campaign, I want to get in on the ground level there. And I guess linebacker, if there's just like a question mark position, like, you know, what in the world is going on, I'd say linebacker. Just because we've seen Daniel Green and Cody Fletcher, but that's just about it. You know, is Boyden Jones any good at that new position? Is Eric Munoz any good at that spot as a transfer? Everybody says they are, but, you know, what else are they going to say during spring practice? And then on the other side of the ball, probably receiver. Who's looking good other than Malik Knowles? That's going to be a big question mark next season. So receiver and linebacker will probably be where my eyes are transfixed the most.
Yeah, with you there. Like receiver, you know, I've been beating that receiver drum for a long time, so that'll definitely be there for me. And linebacker, boy, I don't know. I just don't feel very good about that here at the moment. But we'll see you out there slumming it with everybody, Kellis. Hopefully, I assume that you do plan to attend and you're not going to protest like Mitch.
I will be there. I think it's actually going to be decent weather, so it's not going to scare me off. But yeah, I'll be out there, binoculars, notepad, the whole deal.
Okay, I like it. Well, appreciate the time. Thank you for rearranging your schedule today to come on with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Well, I'm just glad we could finally make it work this week. It's been too long since I've heard the BoJack theme. And then next week we'll get real big fish back, and it'll be just like old times.
Now, maybe. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. We'll see what happens then. All right.
Come on, Mitch.
We'll
come on,
you.
Mitch. We need some real big fish. We need some ska.
Ska never dies. We'll see you, Kellis.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye, Kellis.
Were you trying to leave the click in?
Well, yeah, I've been leaving it in to see if he says bye back.
Oh, I see. Okay. I don't even understand my own bit. Has the NCAA tournament been boring? We'll try and discuss that in 2.5 minutes next. Mitch, I will side with you on not being that excited about the Final Four matchups until we get Baylor-Gonzaga. Like, that's all I need to see. And God forbid if Houston beats Baylor, it's going to make for one very boring national championship game. We all deserve Baylor-Gonzaga, the game that didn't happen and was supposed to back in the non-con. But I don't think I can agree with you that the entire tournament has been boring.
No, I didn't say the entire tournament has been boring. It's definitely hit some boring patches. I think I've been more entertained by the first couple of rounds than I have in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight.
But that's always the trade-off with the tournament, right? If you get more upsets early on, it generally leads to a less exciting second weekend. And that's a trade-off that I would make 10 times out of 10, because to me, the best part of the tournament is the first two rounds. The first 4 days of the NCAA tournament, that's where it's at. Especially the Thursday, Friday. I know things were a little bit different this year, but typically that Thursday, Friday, a lot of people take off work. You get just wall-to-wall games. Exciting upsets are happening all over the place. I wouldn't trade that for the world, even if it is better, because to me it's like if you get better matchups in the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16 and like higher profile teams or whatever, it's kind of like nobody's really here for that in college basketball anymore. Nobody follows college basketball at like a national level or watches it throughout the regular season. So, you know, if there were more of a general interest in that throughout the regular season, I think that would be a cooler thing and a thing people would look more forward to. But now it's like no one pays attention to college basketball until the tournament comes up. Everybody just tunes in to see the upsets. You just want chaos. You want craziness. So it's a trade-off that I'm absolutely okay with. And I'm not going to complain too much about, oh, look how boring these games are in the second weekend. Like, I understand. We had our fun. And hopefully this year at the end of the road, we get a really awesome national championship game between the two teams that everybody actually wants to see in Baylor and Gonzaga.
I think this whole season was meant to have this game it's not even set yet. We still have to grind through Gonzaga, UCLA, and you know what will probably be a closer game is Baylor and Houston. But I think it's meant to be to have Gonzaga and Baylor as a national championship game, because you mentioned it in the non-con they were supposed to play, but COVID, it got in the way. It had to be canceled. And I think we all deserve Gonzaga and Baylor to be our national championship game. Gonzaga, this is their first ever – or their second Final Four, and Baylor's in their first Final Four since 1950. So, I mean, these are two programs that Baylor hasn't been good in a long time, and Gonzaga's been good, but they've never quite made it that far except for the national championship game in 2017. So these are even two fan bases that are extremely hungry for this kind of game to happen and try to achieve the richest prize in the game, at least at this level.
Gonzaga, UCLA, you're right, is just going to be awful. You know, I mean, UCLA, like, limps through quite literally with their best player rolling his ankle, the same ankle, for the third time in, like, 3 weeks. And now they have to go play Gonzaga, who's just been mauling people. Like, USC, who had legitimate talent and made Kansas look like they were Iowa State. Now they have to go up against Gonzaga.
I was so bored with the Gonzaga-USC game, I turned it off to play some Call of Duty for a little bit.
Well, I don't blame you at all. I mean, I didn't really watch very much of it because it was so apparent early on. By the time I got home from work, it was like a 20-point game by the time I got home from work yesterday. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't like that Bruce Weber doesn't want to use this 14th scholarship. We'll discuss next.